Good afternoon. One of my friends just posted up a picture. It's of a spinning reel with nothing on it, and it says wanted. Whatever just took 300 yards of braid. That was fun for a few seconds. I've been there and done that a few times. And you always wonder, what was it? Was I just hung up on something? Did I, you know, was a submarine coming in out of Charleston Harbor and didn't know they were there or something? It's always a mystery. But anyway, my name is Roger Metz, and you're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK. If you want to call in, those numbers are 235-9405 or 877-235-9405. Some people have said, if I knew your number, I'd call you. So there, you have it. I went to camp again this week. I'll be honest with you. I'm having a ball going to visit all these outdoor camps here in South Carolina. So Tuesday afternoon, I was over at the Glendale Outdoor Leadership School. Now, that is a day camp over in Glendale community, which is just on the other side of Spartanburg. And I spent a couple hours with Carrie and Jay. Their goal, they told me as we were sitting there talking, other than taking these day campers biking, kayaking, on the climbing wall, on the treetop adventure trail, is to send those kids home tired. And based on what I saw and heard, I think they're probably doing a pretty good job of that one. It's a small camp. It's just a day camp, but it's packed with fun. And they've got other programs they're offering. Carrie will be here on the second segment of the show today. So listen in, because she still has two more weeks of summer camp after the next week, and they have room for more kids. So if you want to get your kids out of the house for a little bit this summer, here's another opportunity for you. Mary Lee is heading for Hilton Head, Beaufort, or Charleston. Now, no panic. You haven't missed the National Hurricane Center's warning about a tropical storm or hurricane. No, Mary Lee is one of the great white sharks tagged by the research organization OSEARCH. She was, at least in September 2012 when they tagged her, 16 feet long and weighed right at 3,500 pounds. Mary Lee likes South Carolina, and I don't blame her. I went to the OSEARCH website and looked at her entire year of tracking pings, and over the last year, she was never any further north than the Outer Banks, North Carolina, and never further any south than Brunswick, Georgia. Most of the time, she's been sitting right off the Edisto Banks. But she has now headed straight inland, and if you look at her profile on Facebook, it actually says her interest includes seals, tuna, manatees, and surfers. So if you're heading for the South Carolina beaches over the 4th of July, don't worry too much. She's probably just coming back for a few days of rest and relaxation just like the rest of us. If you want to see more about Mary Lee, and it's a fascinating website to go to, check out. It's OSEARCH website is www.osearch.org. That's OSEARCH.org. OSEARCH is also partnered with the Department of Natural Resources to track some local tiger sharks down in Port Royal Sound. I think they've tagged five of those so far. They've got another five they're going to tag later on the summer. So, but it's kind of fun to watch where these sharks go. And some of them travel amazing distances. But, good old Mary Lee, she likes the South Carolina, North Carolina coast. Calendar of events for this week. Don't forget today is the Great American, or tonight actually is the Great American Backyard Camp Out. We talked about it last week. You know, just in your own backyard, whether it's a tent, a tarp, you know, at least make an effort. If your kids get scared and want to go inside, hey, at least you tried, but go out there and try it. It's great. When I get home, as long as it doesn't pour down rain, which kind of part of me hopes it does because I've got some stuff I need to burn. The other part says I hope it doesn't so I can set up my camp tent and we'll camp out in our backyard. Don't forget to do that tonight. It's a start and we have to start somewhere. So whether it's in your backyard with your neighbors, across the street, whatever, just go and do it. It'd be a great time to get out as a family. Greer's Freedom Blast is happening right now at the Greer City Park. Music, food, fun for everybody, and the fireworks are at 10:15. And pretty much the calendar for this week is going to all be about 4th of July celebrations across the state. We're going to, I guess I can justify it because some of it has to do with barbecue and some of it has to do with water. So either way, we're going to spend a lot on the 4th. I have a little piece in the last segment about the 4th of July, so bear with me, but that's the calendar for this week. Today, if you're anywhere near Lake Murray, is Lake Murray's fireworks celebration, 25th anniversary, beginning at dusk, about 9:15 or so. They claim it's South Carolina's largest fireworks display, and they do it from two different locations, Spence Island and Drear Island State Park. So it very well could be the state's largest. The show is choreographed to a patriotic concert, and that airs simultaneously on B106.7 and 98.5 out of Columbia. So you can view it from Drear Island State Park or both the parks at the dam. Bring a chair, blanket, picnics, you know, go have some fun on the 4th. There's a lot of it going on. Mentioned it last week, Salute from the Shore, happening Friday. They sent me an update, approximate times, 1 o'clock on the North Carolina border, sometime around 1:45 in Charleston, 2:05 in Hilton Head. Now, I realize some of these planes fly faster than the others, so it may take them a little while to get to you, but sit out there and go big. You know, if you go look at any of the videos of Salute from the Shore, they have huge American flags. Some of the stuff carved into the beaches is big. The groups of people are big. Yeah, take some pictures. Send them to me. My email is roger@woodsandwatersouthcarolina.com, and that's roodsandwatersc.com. If not me, then they would like for you to send your pictures to salutefromtheshore.org. So take some pictures. Get out there with some friends. Show some red, white, and blue. Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., historic Brattonsville is having its independence from King George at Hightower Hall. You know, it's going to be a lot of that era games, music, dance, a militia muster is going to be there, children's military drills, cooking demos, house tours, and more. And the day will culminate with a reading of the Declaration of Independence on the front steps of Hightower Hall at 3 o'clock. So right here in York County, historic Brattonsville, you know, the Declaration is not that long, but what a great way to end. And then you can go to Lake Wylie, although I could not for the life of me pin down when Lake Wylie is having their fireworks this year. So, but Charlotte's having a lot of stuff too. So if you're over in York, then you could find a place to go find some in that area. Lexington County Peach Festival. If you're going to be down around Columbia for the 4th, actually out of the town of Gilbert, South Carolina, the 21st Annual Fireworks Spectacular. It's a parade, live entertainment, arts and crafts, antique car show, Revolutionary War reenactment, a tractor show. And they have tractors down there like we don't have up here anymore. Children's rides and, of course, anything that has peach in it. I'm sure there's going to be peach milkshakes, peach ice cream. Dave's in there going, yeah, let's go. Dave's going to be in Iowa next week, which is good. He needs a break. But anyway, that's down in Gilbert, South Carolina. That's the 21st Annual Fireworks Spectacular at the Lexington County Peach Festival. Charleston has got a bunch of stuff going on, too. If you're going to be down around the Charleston, from Folly Beach to North Charleston to Patriots Point, Folly Beach is going to have, it says, come on out to the beach all day, soak up the sun, have a picnic, and then there's fireworks that night. Start at dark. So somewhere around 9 or 9:15 is when the sun's, well, actually when it will get dark this coming Friday. North Charleston is going to be shooting off fireworks from the Riverfront Park. From 3 to 9, they're going to have lots of family entertainment and activities and that sort of thing. Ending with a fireworks display, probably starting around 9:15, set it to run about 30 minutes. Out on the Patriots Point of Charleston, out of there where the Patriots Point Marina is and the Yorktown and that sort of thing. You can actually buy tickets to get on the Yorktown for the day. And they're going to shoot fireworks. Now, in the past, they've shot them off the aircraft carrier. This year, they're going to have them off a barge in the Cooper River, which means you don't have to get on the Yorktown. You can go to the Yorktown. They also have the lawn parking is free. It's actually parking free, but there's no admission to get on the area there in front of the Yorktown. But if they're going to shoot them off on the Cooper River, that means, wow, the new park underneath the bridge would be a good place to go. Rimley's Point boat landing. Oh, man, a number of places along the peninsula would be a good thing. So that's down in Charleston if you're going to be there. Let's see. Marion County, and I mentioned this before, the Marion County Independence Day celebration and barbecue cookoff. Oh, here comes I missed that signal. I'll get to the rest of these after the break. Hang on with me. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I've still got a few more things for the calendar events, so hang on with me and we'll get through these. Left off with the Marion County Independence Day Barbecue Celebration and Cook-Off. They actually, the South Carolina Barbecue Association actually put out an open call for more judges because they had a lot more, I guess you'd say, barbecuers who wanted to come out. So if you're over in the Mullins area, July the 4th from 4 to 10 p.m., this is a ribs cook-off. Obviously going to be pretty big. They are going to have fireworks there. Let's see, bounce inflatables for kids, music, petting zoo, veterans memorial tent, entertainment, great food, and a barbecue cook-off. That would be, and the fireworks are at 10 o'clock if you're in the Marion area. Hilton Head, if you're going to be down on the south end of the South Carolina coast. Harbor Town, they're going to have almost a full day, I guess. Children's activities, live music, food, as well as fireworks. The fireworks will begin at 9:15 at dusk. If you're at Shelter Cove Harbor, they're going to have music from 6:30 to 8, and the fireworks beginning around 9:15. Skull Creek, they're a little bit different. They're going to start at 9:30, and they're going to have the barges there is going to be set up in the intercoastal waterway near Skull Creek. So Hilton Head, you want fireworks, that's where to go. Myrtle Beach. Wow, Broadway at the Beach is going to be shooting off fireworks at 10 o'clock Friday over Lake Broadway. Surfside Beach, fireworks. Well, they're going to have live entertainment from 6 to 10 Friday with fireworks afterwards. That's at Surfside Drive and Ocean Boulevard. North Myrtle Beach is going to have fireworks at Barefoot Landing at 10:15 Friday over Barefoot Landing Lake. Cherry Grove Pier will be shooting off fireworks around 9 or 9:15. Merle's Inlet's actually having a 4th of July boat parade and fireworks display. The boats are going to kind of navigate through Merle's Inlet around by the marsh walk and everything. And then the fireworks will begin at 10 o'clock. And they say there you can see them anywhere along the marsh walk as well as down the marsh shoreline. That's Merle's Inlet too. Then you've got, this one is something my wife wants to do. She wants to go up to Caesar's Head Friday night and walk up to the overlook and watch the Greenville fireworks display from 3,200 feet. So that's happening Friday. That's 8:45 to 11 o'clock. Yeah, I don't know. I've got some other ideas about Friday. But anyway, if you want to go hike up to Caesar's Head and look at the fireworks display of Greenville from the mountain, that's a good one for you. A couple of reenactments going on. I mentioned the Brattonsville one. This one is over at... Cowpens. I'm sorry. Cowpens National Battlefield is going to have a celebration of freedom on July the 5th, which is Saturday. And they have a full list of things starting at 9:45 all the way to 3:45 in the afternoon. There's weapons firing demonstrations, a mile and a quarter hike with a ranger across the battlefield. We'll call it a hike so we can get the hiking in there. They're going to read the Declaration of Independence at 11 o'clock, and then they circuit back over. Battlefield walk, weapons firing, ranger talk, all day long. Some of the children's activities, they're going to have a quill pen writing, cartridge rolling, whirligigs, and spinners. So if you're a Revolutionary War type, then the Battle of Cowpens. They're also at Kings Mountain National Military Park off of Highway 216. They're going to have a backcountry militia encampment next Saturday and Sunday. And they don't give you a lot of information. I'm sure it'll be the same thing as any much of these others. You can walk around the camp and see how life would have been for them. But Kings Mountain has the Battle for Kings Mountain film. They have a museum there, and they have a 1.5 mile hike on a walking trail around the battlefield to give you both sides of the battle. That's the calendar events. It's all 4th of July this time around. I'll put all that up on the website and the Facebook page. I hope you'll go and do some of this. I hope you will, you know, show some red, white, and blue this week. It's all about the flag. And that website is woodsandwatersc.com. The Facebook page is facebook.com/woodsandwatersc. You know, check out everything that's up there. The Facebook side's a little more active than the website, but I'm hoping to even those out. You can also email me at roger@woodsandwatersc.com. Send me your pictures, you know, your hikes, your fish, sunrises, animals, whatever. Comment on an event. comments or send me an event you'd like me to add to the next calendar. The numbers you want to call the show, 235-9405 or 877-235-9405. It is time to renew your South Carolina Department of Natural Resources hunting and fishing license. I went on last night and did mine. Real easy. They've actually added American Express this year. So in prior years, if you had Visa, MasterCard, and Discover, you could do it, but you couldn't do Amex. So this year they've added Amex. Let's see. I didn't get everything I wanted because I don't know if I'm going to do some. Let's see. Sportsman's license, migratory bird permit. Remember, that's free, but you have to have it to hunt doves and that sort of thing. The migratory waterfowl stamp. That's if you're going to hunt ducks and geese. I got a couple of doe tags just in case. While the turkey tags are free, but you have to, you know, say I want them. And the annual saltwater fishing license is $10. So I spent a little bit of money there. I didn't get South Carolina Wildlife because I got another letter in the mail on that. So I think I'm going to do it a little separately this year. But anyway, it's time to do that. And when you buy your hunting license, number one, do it now. You know, there is a free freshwater fishing day July 4th here in South Carolina. So Friday you can fish freshwater. If you get, you know, asked to check your license and you haven't renewed it, you have a day grace. But you don't want to wake up next Saturday morning going fishing and say, uh-oh, I don't have a license. So go ahead and do it now. After 4 o'clock. Listen to the rest of the show, then go do it. Buy for the unexpected trip. You know, you may just normally get the hunting license and don't think you're ever going to go game management. But, you know, there's a lot of good dove fields on game management. There are some good deer hunting potential on game management. So buy for the unexpected trip because there's nothing like getting an invitation to go somewhere and I don't have a license. Now, a little bit of that's mitigated because you can go on the website and, you know, buy it, print off your receipt, and there you've got it. But I like to be prepared. The only thing I didn't get this year was the shrimp baiting tags. Going to McClellanville and buying 50 pounds of shrimp. Yeah, you have to lug that shrimp from the dock to your car, but it's a whole lot easier than going out there and shrimping in the harbor with everybody else. And I am too scared to get up into Bull's Bay. Not going to do it. Don't go up there enough. Sandbar shift, and that's where I'll end up for like 18 hours instead of 6. And don't forget, there are free licenses for the gratis license, which is for, let's see, I don't know if they give an age on here. Anyway, if you were born after July the 1st, 1940, you can get a free license, statewide hunting, big game permit, wildlife management area, freshwater fishing, saltwater fishing. It's free. And disability licenses, the same thing. State hunting, big game, wildlife management. If you're disabled, you can get a free license there. And they have a license for everything. And actually, this year, there's something new. They have a three-year they have a couple of three-year options here, especially on the saltwater fishing. You can get a three-year saltwater license for $30 instead of $10 each year. And then, of course, you have the lifetime licenses and that sort of thing. So I'll probably be back in here to get my shrimp baiting tags at some point, but who knows. And then there's a story. So like I said, don't get caught next week. You need those licenses just so you don't get a ticket. Now, granted, they might give you a little bit of leeway the first couple of weeks, but no excuse after that. I meant to get to this. I've had this for a couple of weeks now. And this is a summertime thing, and it's something that really doesn't bother me, but it bothers a lot of people. I had a friend of mine call me and say the other day, I found a tick on me. And I'm like, yes, if you're outside, you're liable to run into some ticks. But anyway, it's a summertime bugs. And I just wanted to give you, I found this article, and it's a pretty good one. General insect protection in the summertime. You know, wear long sleeve shirts and long pants, lightweight, light colored clothes. If you're out a lot, you've probably heard of buzz off shirts and pants. I've got some of those. They work really well. Lighter color makes it easier to see the insects while they're still on the outside. It says tuck your pants into your socks. You know, this is not a fashion statement, but it keeps ticks and other things from crawling up inside your pant legs. Wear a hat for sun protection and to keep insects out of your hair. You know, if you're down in the, along the coastal area, you know, you might consider wearing one of those mosquito suits or whatever. They look bad, but if you get bit like my family does with mosquitoes, it's worth it. And then after your hike, take a shower as soon as you can. You know, it's a lot easier to remove a tick that's just crawling up you than one that's already attached. So ticks is kind of the first one on the list here. They're mostly just a nuisance. You know, they're painless, which is a good and a bad thing because it's good you don't feel them. It's bad you don't feel them because you don't know where they are. But it usually takes them, you know, Lyme's disease is a big thing with ticks. It usually takes them 12 to 24 hours before they start transmitting anything. So if you catch them early, you know, it's a good thing. Here it says, the best way to prevent tick bites is to avoid ticks. Stay indoors and watch TV. Well, we don't agree with that here. And he's just joking in this article too. But here's a few just tips to help you stay away from ticks. Avoid brushy areas, tall grass. Try to walk in the middle of the trail. Avoid hanging branches. Sunny, dry areas can still have ticks, but they're fewer than shady, damp places. Wear permethrin-treated clothes or spray it on your clothes. It kills ticks rather than repelling them and lasts through many washings. DEET, if you're going to use DEET, you know, the low 15% DEET's not going to cut it. 25 to 30%, and they even have it up to 100%. Be careful about too much exposure to that stuff because it can be bad for you. And the biggest thing is just keep checking. Removing ticks. And there's a lot of ways people say to remove ticks. The best one they say is to get an alcohol wipe, wipe it, grab the tick with a pair of tweezers, and back it out. In other words, pull it the same direction it went in with slow, steady pressure. Don't yank it. Don't twist it. Don't jerk it. After you remove it, you know, sometimes you'll still have a little bit of their mouth part in the skin. If that happens, pinch the skin, scrape it off with a razor blade or something. You know, wash it, thoroughly clean it with antiseptic. If you're concerned about the possibility of Lyme disease, in other words, if you were outside one day, you didn't find the tick till the next day, you know, put it in a film canister between a piece of folded tape, take it to the public health lab for inspection if you're worried about it. Mosquitoes, what do you say? They're everywhere. Ticks and mosquitoes are really bad this year. As soon as I can get them, I want some purple martins. They say they eat millions of mosquitoes every night. Use DEET and more than a 20% solution. You know, the buzz off clothes again. Hike during the morning and early afternoon. Those late evening hours, mosquitoes are out. Burning citronella candles can help if you're stationary around camp, but the wind will blow the smell away. We've got Glendale on the other side. I'll come back to this and finish up with the mosquitoes and spiders and that sort of stuff later. See you on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Let me say one last thing about mosquito bites. They itch. I know, I understand. You know, they make all sorts of these little anti-itch sticks that you can rub on it. They're Benadryl or calamine lotion or whatever. Don't itch them. I mean, that just causes it to the little poison or whatever to spread. So don't itch it. Wash it off. Put on something like calamine, Benadryl, and wear gloves if you have to keep from scratching it. As I said before, on the line with us right now, we have Carrie Hanna, who is the director of the South Carolina Leadership Outdoor School. Welcome, Carrie. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Carrie and I and Jay spent an hour or so together, and it's a little tucked away place you'd never know, but it's a neat little place. Tell me a little bit about the goals organization there, Carrie.
Yeah, the Glendale Outdoor Leadership School is a program of the Palmetto Conservation Foundation, which is a statewide nonprofit organization, and we call it GOALS for short. It opened in 2007 in the small mill village of Glendale. There's a lot of those small upstate mill villages that are trying to be revitalized, and this was one of those. So back in about 2004, the town had a visioning process to kind of revitalize some of the buildings and some of the houses in the mill village after the mill had closed and burned down. And one of those buildings was the old Methodist church. And so we purchased the property with the help of the Mary Black Foundation and have turned it into an outdoor leadership school over the past 7 years.
And it is really a neat place. Jay took me into and showed me the ceiling y'all found in the old church.
Yes, we just finished up a project where we restore the old ceiling that was hidden underneath a drop ceiling, and it's a beautiful wood ceiling. We put new lighting in. We've redone the outside of the building. We have actually have a rock climbing gym inside the old church, and we use one of the buildings for our office, and we have another building that we use as a cottage for overnight groups.
And there was an article actually in the paper about some kids from, I forget where they're from, who are working the Palmetto Trail who were staying there at Glendale.
They are, yep. They've been here for 6 weeks, and they're actually heading out this weekend to go work on their next project. So we had a group of eight AmeriCorps volunteers that were staying here.
So. That's neat. And you're right, that the Palmetto Trail runs close by there, doesn't it?
It does. It goes right through Spartanburg. The Mary Black Rail Trail is the Palmetto Trail.
Okay. Dave is in here asking me if you can speak up just a little bit louder.
Okay.
Now, you have day camps. You're a little different from the other camps that I've had on the show, but you run day camps there. What age group day camps do you have?
We do. We have day camps that go from 9 in the morning to 5 o'clock at night, and we have it's open to ages 6 to 15. So we have a kind of a wide age range there, but we usually split the kids up once they get here based on their age and skill level and ability.
And I saw that in the one group that's on the rock climbing wall.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you still have a couple of weeks to go in this, right?
We do. We have a July 7th through the 11th is still open, and July 21st through the 25th.
Now, one of the really cool things I saw when I first got there, Jay took me out into the treetop course. Now,
yeah,
you don't start them out there, but you do the low course with all those kids, right?
We do, yeah. The low challenge course consists of a number of elements that are close to the ground, and that's open to all age groups. And then we just opened recently our high challenge course, which is up in the treetop. We call it our treetop adventure trail, and that just opened in the fall. And so we take the older kids from our camps out onto that course. And then that course is also open to other groups. Like today we had about 30 15-year-olds from a program at Furman that came out and did the high challenge course. So it's open to, you know, corporate groups. It's open to camps. It's open to church groups, youth groups, you know, anybody that's looking to do a little team building.
It looked like a lot of fun. I might have to come try that one.
Yeah.
Now, in the day camps, what are some of the things you're going to do with the kids?
Oh, we do all kinds of stuff. We send them home really tired.
Which is a goal. You said our goal here is to get them outside and send them home tired.
That's right. Yeah, we want to get them, you know, just comfortable in the outdoors, get them doing some stuff that maybe they would have never tried before, like mountain biking or rock climbing or kayaking. We do, like I said, the high and low challenge course. We have some environmental education lessons throughout the week, arts and crafts, of course, and we'll take them swimming in Lawson Sport Creek. We teach them a little bit about first aid. We take them on some nature hikes, and then we also have our giant swing, which is part of our new high challenge course, and the giant swing is open for the younger kids as well, so it's a lot of fun.
Now, you were telling me you take them kayaking right down there behind the shoals at Glendale?
We take the younger kids kayaking on Lawson Sport Creek, so we put them in right above the dam where the old mill is, and we paddle upstream a little bit to the upper shoals, and the younger kids do that trip because it's a little bit shorter. And the older kids, we actually truck them down the road just a little bit to the Pacolet River, and
yep.
We do about a four-hour trip on the Pacolet with the older kids.
Very cool. Now, you mentioned when I was there, you mentioned something about a blue course opening on the Pacolet River?
Yeah, the Palmetto Conservation Foundation and GOLD partnered with the South Carolina DNR in Spartanburg County using water recreation funds, and we are in the process of opening the Pacolet and Lawson Sport Blueway. So we use the money to build and construct parking areas, gain easements, and construct the put-ins and take-outs along the Blueway. It's a 50-mile Blueway. Technically, it's already open. All the signs are out, and the maps are out, and it'll be on Spartanburg County's website. But we're going to have the grand opening for it in early October.
Early October. I may come out and have to take in the opening activities.
Yeah.
Now, you, when I was there, you mentioned you have a couple of Living Social and Groupons out there for the next 2 weeks' day camps.
We do. For the camps, we have a Groupon deal. It's $126 off of the regular camp price, so you can send your kids to camp for $199. And if you just search Groupon for our name, it should come up for our summer camp. And then we have our Living Social deal, which is actually a variety of options. If you look on Living Social and look for Glendale Outdoor Leadership School, you can purchase admission for one to our Treetop Adventure Trail on one of our open dates. Normally, our course is open to groups, like I mentioned before, but we do like to open it to the general public occasionally. So we have two open dates, and that's July 19th or August 9th. And so you can purchase for half off a ticket to come and do the course, one of those 2 days. And then we also have our Wilderness Survival course that you can purchase through Living Social right now for half off. And we have one of those classes left. So we had a primitive shelters class. We had primitive hunting tools, traps, and snares. And then our next one is friction fires and water purification. And then we actually have a wilderness survival weekend in September where you'll go out for 2 days with one of our instructors and just survive on pretty much nothing but what you have, you know, in front of you in the wilderness. So those are all offered on Living Social right now.
Very nice. Now, one question I had about the Wilderness Survival Weekend. Mm-hmm. Do you have to have any of the others in series?
Not necessarily. No.
Okay.
You can do one or all of them or two of them or whatever you'd like. There's going to be, during the Wilderness Survival Weekend, there will be a little bit, the instructor will cover a little bit of what was covered in each of the three previous classes.
Very nice. Now, when I was there, you mentioned that you had worked with PCF, and that's the Palmetto Conservation Foundation,
right,
and the Palmetto Trail. Let me ask you, you've got people who are going to take part of this week off or all of this week off. What's a good section of trail fairly close to the upstate that you could go as a family?
Well, there's a lot of good places here in upstate along the Palmetto Trail. If you want to, you know, a good day hike just to go out for a little while, like I said, the Mary Black Rail Trail goes right through Spartanburg, so that's a good one. If you want more of a mountain view, you could go up to the Saluda Mountains Passes, which is one of our newer ones that that has opened in the last couple years, and that goes through the Greenville Watershed, which has not been open to the public in over 70 years, I believe.
Wow.
So it's a really beautiful, nice section of trail.
I was just going to say, that's a pretty section of trail up through there.
Yeah.
Well, Carrie, how do they find you on the internet and a telephone number in case they want to ring their kids or talk to you about the Wilderness Series or the survival training?
They can look on the website. It's www.setgoals.org or just type in Glendale Outdoor Leadership School and look us up. Our phone number is 864-529-0259, and we'd be happy to answer any questions about any of our courses that we offer. We have wilderness first aid training. We have you know, team building, group development. We do after school programs, our camps, and everything else that we've mentioned. So.
Carrie, thank you for taking time on a Saturday to tell us about Glendale Outdoor Leadership School.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll be in touch.
All right.
Bye. Welcome back to Woods and Water. I was checking during the break, and I see that Patrick Walters and Geddes Brannon with the anglers at USC have checked in at the Carhartt College Bass Wild Card up on Pickwick Lake. They weighed in 5 fish at 14.6. Right now they're in third place. I just updated the standings. They were in third place overall, which probably is not going to make it this time around. But at least they're down there giving it a try. I told them I was going to kind of try to catch up with them and see how they were doing. Just a little bit more about bugs and that sort of thing. Spiders. You know, we do have some poison. In fact, all spiders are actually poisonous. I didn't know if you knew that. That's what this article says, and I'm sure that's probably true. I always heard that granated long legs are poisonous. Their mouths are just so small they can never bite you. But we do have some bad ones. Your black widows, brown recluses, funnel webs. One of the easiest ways to prevent a spider bite is don't reach somewhere you can't see, under rocks, holes, branches, that sort of thing. I do this religiously. Shake out your clothes, gloves, and boots before putting them on. And one of the aggravating things about spiders in the summertime hiking is walking through the woods and, you know, the spider webs they've spun overnight, and they actually spin them outside my office door. Every time I go out in the morning to take Sophie out, I run into a spider web. So be careful of spiders. You know, if you treat them, they're a little more painful. Obviously, a friend of mine got bitten down in the lower part of the state the other day, and he sent me a picture of his left arm, and it was probably twice the size it should be with his hand and his fingers and all. It looked pretty bad. I don't think they ever identified what kind of bite it was. You know, wash it good, pack it on ice, elevate it, you know, record your symptoms, call a doctor if you need to, try to identify the spider. Just don't put your hands where you can't see where you're putting them. Bees, you know, they're out there. I love this one in here. It says, avoid strongly odored food that may be attractive. This guy's never been to a cookout in the South in his life, I don't think, because, man, the yellow jackets just, they can smell a cookout 20 miles away, and they're there. And I love this one, though. It says, avoid wearing bright or flowery patterned clothes. Perfume, scented lotion, shiny jewelry. Yeah, that's for the ladies out there. And this is always a good one. Don't drink from cans. You know, a yellow jacket loves sweets, and they can crawl inside the lip of a Coke can, and the result is not very nice. It says don't swat at it because it can provoke an attack. I love to swat it. Bees and all, it drives my girls crazy. You know, be careful if you're allergic to bees and all. It's, that can really be a very nasty thing to deal with is when you swell up and have to go to the hospital. So just be aware of them out there. They're there. The biggest thing that I'll tell you is, you know, when I'm hiking, I like to spray my socks, especially around the top of my boots with an insect repellent or something. And it seems to work a little better. Back when my dad surveyed, we would put powdered sulfur around the tops of our boots and all, and that seemed to help. But you know, there's no solution to anything. The biggest thing is just to take a shower just as soon as you can after you get back from the outdoors. I want to take just a few minutes. I think it takes about 5 minutes to do this, and read something. Normally I don't like to read things verbatim, but this one's just too good. It's by Joni Douglas. I have no idea who she is. Doing a little bit of research, I found this article. It's really good. It's the meaning of the 4th of July Independence Day. So bear with me. I'm going to read it. I'll try to make it interesting, but it's just a great reminder of what the 4th's all about. And it starts off, in just a few days, it will be the 4th of July. Scenes of picnics, parades, and fireworks will be everywhere. This is how we celebrate the holiday. It is the day we set apart from all the others to honor the anniversary of the birth of our nation. It is the day America declared our independence. But what is the meaning of Independence Day? Do we ever reflect on the hardship and terror that the early Americans must have lived through day after day? Do we truly understand the hopes and dreams that lay secretly hidden away in the hearts of the people back then? On July the 4th, 1776, America started an insurrection against the king. 13 years before, back in 1763, England instituted a series of taxes and policies that not only hindered trade and economic growth in the colonies, but without representation in Parliament, also violated their rights as English subjects. It took the Americans 9 years to understand the futility of appealing to England, all the while enduring the heavy hand of the king. So committees were formed in 1772 exploring options for a Congress of our own. Our first Continental Congress convened in 1774. The following year, 1775, our Congress was declared traitorous, and British troops sent to quell the uprising met resistance from the colonial mission, militia, and the Revolutionary War began. 1 year later, representatives from all 13 colonies voted unanimously to adopt a Declaration of Independence and break free from the yoke of England. It took another 7 years of fighting until 1781, when America claimed victory, and in 1783, the Treaty of Paris was signed acknowledging America as an independent nation. Although the Congress voted on the 2nd, it was 2 days later, July the 4th, 1776, that America formally and boldly proclaimed to the entire world that we would no longer consider ourselves subjects of the British Empire. The text of the Declaration was finalized and approved that very day. So each year, what we celebrate for one day on July 4th was in truth a 20-year struggle for independence. Our Declaration of Independence stands today as one of the most profound declarations ever written. Perhaps the most famous line from the Declaration is, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Unalienable rights. For most Americans, these are the most powerful words in American history. This is what the founders wanted the meaning of independence to be. The idea behind these words provocatively asserted that the rights listed are not now, nor have they ever been granted by the throne, the parliament, or any other ruling body of mankind's making. While we may take those words for granted, back in 1776, they were earth-shattering. Never before in the history of the world was the idea of personal rights and freedom for all men been given such a stage. Up until this time, all rights were granted as favors from the king or leader and could always be revoked should favor turn from you. This idea of unalienable rights, this marvelous truth that we hold so dear, was mocked and ridiculed by the entire known civilized world. We were hated for it from every corner of the globe. In fact, America is still hated for it in many places today. This one line in our Declaration of Independence paved the way for every single law in the books today. It holds the basis of our separation of powers in all three branches of government. It is also the foundation of the civil rights movement. The dream of a free and equal people burned brightly in the hearts of men back in 1776. The love of this country by Americans should never be in doubt. The love of freedom is expressed every day by Americans who love this country and the principles of individual freedoms that it represents. This hard-fought freedom, this grand independence, is what we hold dear and what the meaning of the 4th of July truly is. It takes real character to continue with this dream today. Once solid lines of right and wrong are now blurred in Washington, and corruption has certainly found its stronghold, which diminishes much of the glow of that dream. But it is within us, the people, where this dream now resides, and here is where it can shine the brightest, but all too often doesn't. There are those who feel as though America is not worthy of such respect, as evidenced by stories we read about, which sometimes leave us flabbergasted at how we could have forgotten the lessons from our founding fathers. What is the meaning of the 4th of July to these folks? A high school student has to fight the school district in Massachusetts for the right to say the Pledge of Allegiance in school after the flag was banned from every classroom. Teenagers get sent home from a school in California and are threatened with expulsion for wearing T-shirts that portray Old Glory. A vet who served in Iraq gets an eviction notice for flying the American flag from his window in Wisconsin. A man in Albany faces eviction for flying a flag on his car in an apartment complex. Granted, it is just a flag, but it is the flag that represents the people of this country. Old Glory is a symbol of us. America is us. We, the people of the United States of America, are what make this country, not the borders of the land, not the law or our property, not the government or the entitlements, just us. If we do not support our flag, then we do not support ourselves. Is it really that hard to pledge your loyalty and allegiance to America, to honor the flag and the people it represents? As we look forward to our day of celebration this year, let it be more than a picnic or a barbecue, more than parades and fireworks. Let us remember to reaffirm our own commitment to liberty and freedom. Let us remember the meaning of the 4th of July, the meaning of the Independence Day. Recognize that Americans fought hard, and far too many died to gain these rights for us, and that we have men and women fighting even now to keep these rights secured. We should not be so willing to overlook the struggles of those first Americans, nor think that their words and actions came easily or without considerable thought to consequence. So, just a few thoughts as we go into the 4th of July about what it is to be an independent nation. I want to thank Carrie Hanna from Glendale for coming on the show today. Go to their website, www.setgoals.org and see the upcoming day camp, survival class, and outdoor training programs they offer. You know, we've covered Camp Wildwood here on the air. Now, Glendale, we've covered the Clemson YLI camps. I'm going to go visit some of those. Next summer, make it a point to try to get your kids out there. Get them involved in a camp. One bit of news I saw, the South Carolina, you can check this out on the Department of Natural Resources webpage. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources has started, and I think this is in some reaction to the recent catches that were either not weighed in time or not certified on scales in time or something that would have been new state records. But they have implemented a program that's going to be the Angler Recognition Program. And it's their awards within each program for trophy fish, master angler, lead angler. And it is, as they said, it's going to be for those people who catch big fish, who don't qualify for the record books, to try to give them a little recognition for their efforts to be outside. Chuck Norris for this week. The original title for the movie Alien vs. Predator was Alien and Predator vs. Chuck Norris. However, the film was canceled shortly after going into production. Besides, who wants to pay $9 to see a movie that's all of 14 seconds long? Oh, I will not be here next week. I'm going to take a Saturday and be with my family, friends, and the barbecue grill. So we're putting together a show that's going to feature a few segments from previous shows. We're going to have the segment where we talk about Poinsett Electronic Combat Range down in Sumter. We're going to have a segment from Boating Safety that we did a couple of weeks ago. And the third segment will be with Al Stokes from the Waddell Mariculture Center down in Beaufort. We'll be discussing on that show. We'll talk about the cobia program they have. But also, if you're down in that area, go by and give them a call. Go by and tour that facility. Al is a great guy. He's a wealth of knowledge. I will have a new calendar of events for next week. And but I hope you go enjoy this week with your family and all. I know I will. And we'll see you back here in a couple of weeks. There is James in the background. That means that's all for today. I enjoyed being here. Look that 4th of July thing up. Consider reading it if you have a barbecue or something, just to kind of get it back in front of people. Make time to camp out tonight. Travel the back roads. Be careful of the 4th. Show some red, white, and blue while you're out there. Don't forget the camera. We'll see you in 2 weeks. In my mind.